Campaigning is well underway in Montreal's municipal election. On November 2nd, Montrealers will elect the 103 people to sit at the City Council and the 19 borough councils. Ensemble Montréal is currently the main opposition party in the city, and they are vying for more seats in the boroughs and at City Hall. Here in the Loyola district of NDG, where CJLO broadcasts, Ensemble is running a candidate for city council who's new to politics. Alexandre Teodorescu is a businessman. He's the co-president of the group Entertain AI, an artificial intelligence consultation group based in Montreal. He's also the president of Rendezvous NDG, a group that organizes family events in local parks. Ensemble has not released a full platform yet, but has highlighted key issues in each borough. Overall, they want to see more spent on housing and homelessness, more spent on police, less time, money, and energy spent on internal bureaucracy. I'm joined now with Alexandre Teodorescu. Would you introduce yourself and tell me a bit about your experiences leading up to your decision to run for city council?
All right, so my name is Alexandre Teodorescu. I'm running for city council in Loyola for Ensemble Montréal with Team Soraya. And this is my first foray into politics. I've been a resident of NDG for 8 years since I came back to Montreal from a stint abroad. But I've always been, Montreal, I wasn't born here. I was born in Romania. In communist Romania, and we kind of fled the country with the parents. I grew up in Africa and studied when I came back here to Montreal when I was 15. So I've had this little bit of international experience that gives me perspective. My career background, so I really am a cultural entrepreneur. I'm also an executive in the creative industry. So up until very recently, I was a vice president of development and innovation at a company called the Seven Fingers, which is really well known, especially in the French ecosystem of creativity in Quebec. It's like a mini Cirque du Soleil, and we've been creating shows, producing shows, and touring them worldwide for the past 25 years. And that gave me a very good perspective on what really makes Quebec different. And makes it shine worldwide. At the same time, I was always very involved locally with local projects. So I co-founded a nonprofit called Rendezvous NDG with a few dads a few years ago, because we wanted to bring back to life the Parc Girouard, which was really left to do nothing. They had rebuilt the chalet, but it was taken over by a graffiti artist or taggers, let's say. To be frank, and nothing was happening there. So we wanted to really, just us with our volunteer work and the kids, we wanted to animate the place. And so we did the first, pumpkin trail a few years ago. And then we proposed to the city that we actually have a mandate to activate it year long. And they gave us the mandate. And so always been very active locally. I'm a very active dad in the sports community for the kids. If you put your two kids to hockey, people who do that would understand what I'm going through for the past couple of years, but it's all fun. And I see amazing dads and moms, taking care of the next generation. So for me, jumping into politics, in my private career, I was really often at the interface of dealing with different government entities, federal, provincial, municipal, especially in culture. You can't do it alone. You need the support of the governments. And so what really led me to jump into this race is basically a sense of frustration that I've started to emerge after years and years of dealing with all this nonsense and this inefficiency at so many different levels of this apparatus that is too big, too slow, not agile enough. And we need to do better. So that came from the sense of frustration. And I'm not the kind of guy who will just stay on Facebook groups and complain all the time. I said, I need to do something about this. So it's not like I'm looking for a new career. I love, my cultural entrepreneurship and this really exciting stuff that I've been doing, but I'm happy to put it on pause now because I feel like I'm on a mission to actually try to solve a bunch of really specific issues at the city. And more recently, in the past couple of years, at the Seven Fingers, I was in charge of really transforming how we do culture, trying new formats, and especially trying new technologies and bringing te new technologies into the creative world. And so I was involved as a president of the board of Entertain AI, Entertain Artificial Intelligence, which is basically the largest conference for creative industries with AI. And so that really opened up my eyes onto how we need to bring innovation back into a very stagnant world. So I've been able to change minds and to really like bring about change in a very conservative world, the artist, industry, the art industry. And I think I can bring the same kind of approach also to a very difficult area to change, which is the city apparatus. So these are a few things that, would explain a little bit of my context of me coming to this race.
I want to talk more about the AI element later, but first,
For
tell
sure.
me about why it was Ensemble that you decided to run for. Is it the message of sort of efficiency? What was it about Ensemble that attracted you as opposed to another party?
Look, the thing is, although I believe, and like most Montrealers, we can appreciate a lot of the messages that Projet Montréal have been, carrying and promoting. Respect for the environment, a better quality of life in the neighborhoods. All this is great in terms of values, but I had more and more issues with the lack of execution, right, on so many fronts. So I it was difficult for me to say we need to change the way things are done at the city by joining the same party that for me in my eyes were responsible for many of those issues. That was on the Projet side. But on the other side, I had Soraya who approached me, and she, for me, she was symbolizing the change that we needed in leadership. Because if we don't change leadership and the approach there, we cannot change the whole machine behind it. So for me, she was for me the charismatic leader, the visionary leader that said right from the get-go, Alex, we need you to bring this innovation spirit to the city because we cannot keep doing the same things that we've been doing for years and expect change, right? So she gave me she showed me that she trusted me to bring this innovation spirit, and she showed me that she had ambition and she wants Montreal to shine again, like I think we can achieve, better.
So your work with Rendezvous, NDG, looked a lot at parks, and your platform talks about improving sporting infrastructure as well as washroom infrastructure through the winter. Will you tell me a little bit about that?
So, I mean, the list is long, right? I think you're referring to like very local promises and focus that right and I want to bring to the campaign. So, the work that I've done with the Rendezvous MDG showed me that we can really activate parks all year round and really bring the sense of community together for not only for the kids but also for all different age groups. And when you go to the park now, you see on certain nights, you have maybe 1,000 people coming there to dance, and you have really young kids and senior people. And so this is the type of stuff that I think we can replicate in different parts of the borough. Actually, even Projet Montréal, they're now taking a lot of credit for this project. I give them credit for it, by the way, because they're the ones who voted it in. But now I think we can replicate the same concept that we have at Rendezvous MDG. We can replicate it to Trenholme Park, maybe certainly, and Loyola Park as well. And on that basis of programming, you can build a lot of other community activities around. So this is the type of stuff that I want to develop and propose to my neighbors here in Loyola. When it comes to infrastructure, sports infrastructure, I'll give you an example. You visit and you compare a lot what we have in Loyola versus other boroughs when you travel for hockey tournaments, right? So this gives me a little comparison tool, basically. And you compare hockey infrastructure. Basically, hockey, by the way, is a national sport of Quebec. So we should be proud of it. We should make sure that our kids have all the tools they need to play this national sport. Dog Harvey is so old in terms of the infrastructure, the slab, the concrete slab, that it has to rest for 6 months out of the year, right? And so that for me is insane, because we have other arenas all around the province, all around the city, that are, modern, and where kids can practice their sport all year long, all year long. So for me, that would be something that we need to correct. There's no reason why our kids should be treated differently than other kids around the city. I'm not even comparing to what the folks in Toronto have done, where they have 5 times more ice time in summer and winter than we do in Quebec. So, I'm a little bit shocked by that. But in general, I think we need to do more in terms of sports infrastructure, not only for hockey, but for everything. I was on the racetrack with Mike White just this week, and he's been telling me about how the city doesn't even consider the racetrack at Confederation as a sports facility, right? So they don't maintain it properly, they don't put the proper lights. So, I think if we're going to have a positive message of taking care of your body, taking care of your mind, building links with the community, the least we could do as a city is give enough budget just to maintain what we have, instead of just thinking about building something new. So these are a few examples of focus that I want to bring back to Loyola, because that's also what I hear with so many families in the neighborhood, right? It's not okay that most of the families here need to go to the West Island to do all their sports. We have the people, we have family, we have the enough budget. It's a question of priority.
Your platform also talks about security in parks and better lighting, and also increasing security in metro stations. Can you tell me a little bit about what that means?
So, I mean, are you using the metro sometimes?
Every day.
So I don't know how you feel about it, but very often I'm a big guy, and it's in the past couple of years I started to actually I had to increase my level of awareness of what's happening around me, because of people having very difficult moments, psychotic breakdowns, and really having hard times in their life. It shouldn't be acceptable to have people like that going through so much pain in their lives in our public space. That's for one. That for sure we were, and we I think we came out very strongly saying this is the number one priority: housing and homelessness, that we need to solve this. That being said, this whole notion of cohabitation, right? We need to also consider the needs and the feelings of families and people who feel threatened by all this, let's say, this the vulnerable population not making a like a creating a safe feeling around them, and especially in public transport, in public spaces. If you go to Square Cabot, for example, it's impossible as a family with two kids to be there and enjoy your time between, homeless people fighting, being on very like having psychotic episodes. It's very difficult. So I think the safety in the public transport, I think it's a must. We need to increase that feeling of safety, because we see the surveys, it's the feeling of safety have gone down. And if we want to bring people to use public transport more, we need to work on that, right? So that's number one. The safety issue is something that I've heard more and more recently. As I was doing the campaign, it's something that residents, we used to feel very, very safe in our neighborhood. I have many people who tell me, "Oh, I used to sleep with the door open, right, in our neighborhood, and now I can't do it. I don't feel safe." So we need to bring back this feeling of safety. I think, we came out strongly in favor of, I think, improving police resources recently. I'm not myself a spokesperson on that, so I won't dive in too deep. What we said, I think, with my colleague Peter Shatila in MDG, is basically, how about we bring back the police station that was here before, that I think was sent to Côte-Saint-Luc. That I think we have many residents who were asking for this. So these are two examples of stuff that we need to work on in terms of safety.
And you mentioned safety in the metros. What does that look like? Does it look like more police in the metros? Does it look like the enforcement of move along policies? I mean, some of these things are controversial. I know, for example, some of the people I've spoken to who work in homelessness sectors, basically, who work with unhoused people, they say that, well, when you kick someone out of a metro, the issue is they go elsewhere where they're alone, where they risk overdosing or dying. And we see in Montreal and Quebec, overdoses are on the rise, even though they're trending downward in the rest of the country. So, does it look like more police in the metros, or does it look like move along policies? And then I guess the other question is, and it's a big question, obviously, I know this is a big question, but housing and homelessness, the solutions there. Does it look like listening to the recommendations made by the public consultation on homelessness that was done recently by the city? I mean, what is your position and Ensemble's position on what to do with those very extreme cases of homelessness?
Yeah, so for me, I'm not a spokesperson on specifically that topic. I'm a spokesperson on innovation. But there's no way to innovate if you can't go on the ground and really talk to the people living the situation. So recently, I spent half a day with the people at Mission Old Brewery and talking to the team, not the bosses, right? You learn a lot from talking to the team or actually operate the place. And the situation is complex. When you talk about safety in the metro, it's all interlinked with other stuff that are not working properly in the system. When I was talking to you about housing is the key. Downstream of that, if you don't solve housing, you have so many issues that have negative impact on everyone in society, not only the vulnerable populations, everyone, the transport users, the families around it. So it's really a multi-layer complex situation if we need to solve housing. But in the meantime, before we solve housing, and I think we have the plan to do that, we also need to work on the transitory housing emergency system that we have. We don't have enough. We announced, Soraya announced that I think we're building 2,000 transitory temporary homes quickly with all the psycho services around it, because we need to do better than what Projet has been doing for the past few years. They took so long to recognize that this was an issue. They said, oh, no, it's it's cohabitation, it's la mixité sociale, right? You cannot solve this issue if you don't even consider that it's a problem, right? So, and another thing, you cannot think that this really drives me insane. Like, how can you come to us, the population, and say, hey, look, it took us 2 years to build a few modular homes that would house 30 homeless people, 2 years, and it cost us $5 million. And by the way, they're not even operational yet. How can we solve the 15,000 homeless people that we have in the city by using this approach? This for me makes absolutely no sense. So, anyways, I know I'm going a bit off track, and maybe I need to come back. But this for me is really an example of how we are, like, the folks that have been in place now, or they're satisfied with this performance. I would be ashamed, if in 4 years this is what we come to the press and saying, hey, look at us, we've done this amazing job. We should be kicked out of office. We should resign directly. Like, so for me, I can't be satisfied with this approach. It's really not working, and we need to do better. So housing is one. But to go back to your original question, like, what do you do to increase the level of safety? The director general of the ASTM, I think, was right. The metro cannot be seen as a refuge. We need to invest way more in homelessness management, right? And we came out saying, did you know, Adam, that the budget for homelessness management at the city is $9 million per year? 9 million? And we spend apparently $57 million a year on animal management. This for me, like, when you read and you unpeel the layers, right, of the budget, you understand the choices that have been made. If you spend 9 million a year, well, see what's happening. We came out saying we're tripling that budget right away. Right away, we're going to 30 million for homelessness management. And this is even, that's not enough. Like, again, we need to build homes. And the method that has been using so far is a disaster. Sorry, yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry if I'm getting
No,
on.
it's
Yeah.
we have time. I want to ask you about I mean there's so much more we can discuss, but I'll also look at Ensemble's platform as it's for some of these other questions. So while I have you, I want to talk about what you say your sort of expertise is, which is innovation and efficiency with
Yeah.
technology. So you talk about incorporating AI into kind of internal communications in the municipality or data storage. I mean, tell me about what it is about AI that you would want to incorporate into how the city functions.
Well, we can have like a whole half day conference on the topic, right? So this new generation of AI, using LLMs, is basically allowing a lot of use cases where it's all about transforming information and words, basically. And a lot of what's happening within the city apparatus or the city and the population is about transferring information on the word format, basically data format, a human intelligible format, to another place, another office. And so I give you the example of, for me, the one lever that we have that will have the most impact downstream is the permits. Permits, and it's unbelievable. It takes more time to actually deliver a piece of paper, right, than to actually build the building itself, right, where you can house families or vulnerable people, social housing. It's not okay, right? And today, with the technology that we have at our disposal, that everybody can see, right, it's right here. It's not something sci-fi. It's right in front of us. With this technology, we can really speed up all this back and forth and information gathering and transforming. I always give the example. I was always seen as a leader of innovation in the creative industry. So I was often invited to speak at international conference. You probably know this one, South by Southwest in Austin. Every year, it gathers all the luminaries
We
talking
covered
about
it
the
as
long
a
term.
we were there. I wasn't
Oh,
there, but the
fantastic.
stage representatives from the station were
Okay.
there.
It's a fantastic conference, really so inspiring. And I was on the stage with some really interesting folks. The people who built the Sphere in Las Vegas, right? So we were there talking about the long-term state of entertainment industry, right? So really pushing the boundaries. And so and I joke, I came back to Montreal and I said, you know what? That wasn't for me the most sci-fi panel out there. For me, it was the people that were following us on stage, because you had the IT director of the city of Kelowna in BC, who was there on stage. And he was introducing a proof of concept, let's say an MVP, minimum viable product, of something that they're testing that was 18 months ago in Kelowna, saying, like, they use AI, the LLMs, to move from 6 months permit time delivery to 24 hours. So imagine the delta there, 6 months to 24 hours, and it was working for them. So when I see, and for me, this blew my mind, and this was the most sci-fi thing. If we can solve it, if we can use LLM just to reduce the waiting period for a permit from 2 years to 3 months, we change the nature of the city in terms of speeding up development, increasing development, bringing more housing online for all, every ladder of the of society, more tax revenue for the city. And increased efficiency from all the bureaucrats delivering the permits. So it is, for me, just one example of how we can use AI now to really solve this. And we would not be the first ones to do it in the world. That's what I say. When it comes to AI, we don't need to be like using the cutting edge reasoning models that are coming out every day. If we just implement properly the technology that was there 18 months ago, already we would change the nature of the municipal apparatus. And that would be just giving you one example. We could go on and on for a half a day if you want to add them all the examples.
I mean two things there. Obviously efficiency is exciting for people, but I think what people are intimidated by when it comes to AI being incorporated in that sort of thing is, first of all, safety. People are, I think, more comfortable with the human touch for the most part when it comes to something like a permit, and also employment. I mean, we know that it's difficult to find a job in this city. And you say, helping getting rid of these bureaucrats would be good for efficiency, and that's hard to argue with. But when it comes to employment, I mean, your reaction to those sort of criticisms.
To be clear, I think we came out, Soraya came out saying that we need to control costs at the city. At some point, we're a fiduciary of the money that we're getting from the residents, so we need to be efficient with it. And she came out saying, look, we're gonna cut 1,000 jobs, especially from the higher ups, at the city in the first year or two or something like this. But the goal is not to fire anybody. My point is, we offer amazing job conditions at the city, good pay, good retirement plans, good conditions, all we want. And I think it's also coming from the city itself, the city workers, city servants. Civil servants, that's what the word is,
Yeah.
yeah, civil servants. They want the best tools at their disposal to do their be a better job. So it's up to us, the political class, the leaders, to say, okay, you want better tools, here they are, and we're giving you permission to test new approaches to increase your output, your efficiency. I think the vast majority of workers at the city feel that they want to do a better job. When I talk to them, they even feel discouraged themselves that the machine, the system is so slow and so hard to work in. So I think we're not going to see a lot of resistance from the machine itself. And to be fair, we don't have a tech issue. We don't have a tech challenge. Like I said, this technology has been already proven, for a year and a half, and we're not using like cutting edge models. The difficulty that we have is really change management, and it's about humans. And we need to bring everybody in the system, from the elected officials to all the way to l'école bleue. We need to level everybody up in terms of their trust in themselves and in the system and the technology. So we need to do a lot of training. We need to accompany people. We need to put them in a place where that now they know, so they can, and so they will. Right, so we need to accompany people in that curve, and that's something that I've done in a very challenging environment, which was the arts, the cultural industry, and I think we can do it.
All right. I just want to ask one more question, which is sort of a vague one, but one that I'm asking all of the candidates. Just to bring it back to Loyola, what would you say is the largest challenge in that district, and how would you address it if you were elected?
I've been doing a lot of door-to-door. I've gone over 1,000 doors so far, and it's hard to pinpoint to exactly one challenge. But I'll try to, maybe elevate a little bit my view on this, because it's something that I've experienced yesterday, actually. I was doing door-to-door. The party tells us, oh, you shouldn't spend more than 5 minutes at every door, otherwise you can't cover. And so sometimes I don't respect this, and I go way over. And yesterday I spent maybe 45 minutes with one lady, and it really touched me, because she didn't know me. I knocked at her door, and it was the first time she saw me. And she started, I always ask the question, like, what is the most important thing for you in this upcoming election? And she came out, and she started to show me all the things around her home and the street that, where she had so much trouble dealing with the city for years and years and years. And she felt, and I felt, this level of distress and hopelessness and helplessness. Like, and she started crying, and I gave her a hug. And so, can you imagine, like, I'm doing my campaign, doing door to door, and I have this lady in my arm crying because she feels so hope not listened to. So coming back to your question, like, what is the thing that, the most important? I feel it in the 1,000 doors. The basic need of the resident is to feel listened, feel respected. In dealing with the machine, the civil servants, the elected officials, they feel disrespected almost all the time. So I think we need to come back to that. We need to remind everybody that the city is working for its residents. It's not the other way around, right? So, and then you can take this and apply to safety, mobility, flooding issues, infrastructure, construction site management, and all those verticals. I see this layer of a feeling across the thousands of homes that I've knocked down. So I don't know if that answered the question, but for me, it was the one way to really understand what is really at the root of this need for change in Loyola. And yeah, I don't know if that makes sense, but that's what I felt.
Well, thank you so much for joining us and taking some time to speak with local and campus radio. That was Alexandre Todorescu from Ensemble Montréal, who are hoping to win some more seats and gain some more ground in Montreal's election. Currently in the polls, it's looking good for Ensemble, but we'll see what happens on the day, on November 2nd.